Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright,
round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep.
Thank you, girls. Let's stand together for a second. Let's all stand briefly. Take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. We'll read this story here, and then we'll let you be seated, okay? We will not be long having you stand, but you'll be sitting for a while, and I'll be standing a lot longer than you, so. Maybe I should start in a chair, get a nice, comfortable chair, you know? The new building, we're going to put Lazy Boys on the platform. What do you think? With cup holders. You just put a drink there, like, amen. Yes, and that'll work too. All right, maybe we won't do that. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched an apex. Verse 2. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. They put themselves, get ready to get battle. They were set up. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. So they have a little skirmish there, a battle. The Philistines kill about 4,000 of the Israelites. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" Now, that's a good question. But they didn't stop to get the answer to that. "Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." By the way, the Lord smote them because they were living in disobedience. They were violating some of the law that God had given them, and God had told them, if you violate the law, your enemies are going to be able to defeat you. So they asked the question, but they didn't stop to get an answer. Instead, they were trying to put a Band-Aid on a broken arm. They're going to fetch the Ark of the Covenant, and that's going to save them out of the hand of the enemies. Verse 4, "So the people went to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God." By the way, these were bad guys. We'll talk about them in a minute. "And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang." So they're going to prop themselves up. They're going to go get the Ark of the Covenant. They bring it into the camp, and all the Israelites are fired up. "Oh yeah, we're going to win now." They all start screaming and yelling. "And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come to the camp." The Philistines, their enemies, hear it, and now they're getting nervous. "And the Philistines were afraid. For they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. So they know that the ark's there, and they're like, uh-oh, God's in the camp. Let me just say this. No, he wasn't. We're going to find out when the next battle comes. But they were afraid. They're fearful. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. They know what God, they knew what God could do. And they're all just down and they're emotionally distraught. Be strong and quit yourselves, therefore, ye like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews. As they have been to you, quit yourselves like men and fight. They said, hey, emotions aside, we got to fight because we don't want to end up being their servants. Like they've been servants to us. Obviously, the Israelites were under them for a little while. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time we have together. I pray you bless our short time. Help us to learn something, Lord, about taming and controlling our emotions. Help us to learn from this story in the Old Testament in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we mentioned here, it's a very interesting story. Of course, we saw that Israel's fighting the Philistines. They lose the first battle, 4,000 casualties. The elders are freaked out about that, like, what happened here? And instead of finding the correct answer, which would have been, we've sinned against God, we need to repent and get it right, they decide they want to bring the Ark of the Covenant into battle with them. If they bring the Ark of the Covenant, that's after all, God will have to let us win. The Ark of the Covenant was the most important piece of furniture in the tabernacle, and it resided in the Holy of Holies. In the Ark were the two tablets of stone on which God wrote the commandments. By taking the Ark into battle, now listen, they were trying to use God to accomplish their own purposes. In other words, they didn't ask, why did we lose? Is there something wrong? What's going on here? They said, if we bring the Ark of the Covenant, this holy piece of furniture, we bring it into battle, God will have to let us win. They're trying to impose their will on God's will. By the way, people do that all the time, don't we? We try to spiritualize what we do and try to make God fulfill our will instead of having God fulfill his will. We spiritualize everything we do. I've heard people spiritualize all kinds of nonsense. Why they left their husband, why they're leaving their wife, now they need this new body. It's a bunch of nonsense, okay? We're always trying to fit God into our hole. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to follow what he does, what he says. By the way, it didn't work for them. They had come to such a place of spiritual darkness that they thought the Ark of God could be substituted for the God of the Ark. It would have been nice when they yelled and screamed that they weren't yelling about a piece of furniture, that they were yelling because God was truly with them. But he wasn't. Worse yet, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they were helping with the Ark of the Covenant. They were two of the most wicked, despicable characters you could imagine. They were supposed to be priests. They were supposed to be servants of God. And yes, they were being immoral where they were working. They had all kinds of nonsense going on. The whole thing was a bad idea from the beginning. There's no such thing as a spiritual rabbit's foot. That's not what we're looking at this morning. We're going to look at the fact that the Philistines won the battle, and they overcame the emotions that flooded them when the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp of the Israelites. When that Ark came in and they heard the noise, they understood what was going on, their emotions were all over the map. And really right there, it could have accomplished the purposes that the Israelites wanted, but they got it together. They got their emotions under control. And by the way, our emotions get the best of us sometimes, okay? We just live in a very emotional, stressful time. There's always something going on. By the way, Christmas is supposed to be a wind down time. It doesn't seem that way. Sometimes you almost need a vacation to get over Christmas time. Man, we go on vacation, it's like, this is going to be great. We're going to relax. When we get back, it's like, I'm tired. Okay, I need a vacation from my vacation. Because we pack so, you know, you're going to pack so many things into this, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. It's like, I'm tired just thinking about it. Okay? But we get all emotional. By the way, our emotions and stress, it's a big deal in our society. Very prevalent. Let me give you some surveys, and we'll give you a few things. Two-thirds of Americans say they are very likely to seek help for their stress. Two-thirds. 54% of Americans, about one for every two, are concerned about the level of stress in their everyday lives. There's always something going on. People are stressed about the economy. Half of Americans say that they are increasingly stressed about their ability to provide for their family's basic needs. Am I going to have a job tomorrow? What's going on with the economy? Are things that, am I going to, it's all over the map. By the way, Obamacare's not helping. Thought I'd just throw that in. They might want to know how to run a website. 80% of Americans stated that the economy is a significant cause of stress in their lives. 83% of women, 78% of men say they're stressed about economy. It affects our health. Adults reported that their physical and emotional symptoms due to stress increased 47%. By the way, it'll affect your health if you're not careful. Okay? It'll affect our health. We need to be very careful. 53% of people say because of stress they reported fatigue. 60% reported feelings of irritability or anger. You're irritated. It's just like you're trying to be a good Christian. The Spirit of God resides in you, but you just want to be irritated. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Take a nap. Okay? It's like, take a nap. You're tired. Okay? It's like, we usually don't do that. We usually say something we regret. But 52% report laying awake at night or insomnia as a result of stress. Here we go. 48% of people reported overeating or eating unhealthy foods to manage stress. 25% reported skipping a meal. I don't think we have the 25% here. I think we're the other one. Okay? Look, food solves everything. Okay, maybe not. But it makes you feel better, right? So what you do is eat and then go take a nap and everything's good. All right, let's pray. We're done. All right. Now let's get to the message, all right? Now that we've given you the good stuff. How can we overcome all of this in our life? Let's look at the Philistines. Believe it or not, Philistines are our example here. They're usually the bad guys in the Bible, but actually they got it right this time. I want you to look at some understandable reactions they had. What caused stress in their life? They were emotionally charged and ready to battle. And then all of a sudden, wham, now they're all freaked out. Let me give you several things. First of all, they were confused. Verse 6 says, and when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp? By the way, can I just tell you something about life? There's a lot of noise. A lot of noise. It is everywhere. Now with our devices and everything we have, you can't get away from anything anytime. It's there. And by the way, most of the things we hear are nothing but negative. 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 That's going to affect us. Notice they were confused about what they heard. They heard the noise of the camp. You know, listen on our radios. By the way, I don't like listening to news because the news is just nothing but a bummer. Okay? You know, Chicken Little said the sky's falling. If you listen to the news, you believe it. Just nothing good's happened. Oh, the economy, people kill, blah, blah, blah. And then if you're a Christian and you have half an ounce of discernment, all the nonsense they're pushing, it's like, it's depressing. What is going on here? It's on our phones. Now you can't get away. I mean, you can't even, you know, your phone is always going to go off, and this is going, so-and-so texts you, bad news, blah, blah, blah. It's everywhere. By the way, it's funny. People are always on their phone. And I was just driving, you look, it's like, we're out somewhere, and father and dad were having lunch together. It was father-son time. Kids on the iPad, dad's on the phone. I'm like, really? That's family time? Our family does. I've mentioned. They'll be in there, and they'll all come over there on Saturday night, and they're all looking at their phones like, hey, let me go get my iPad. I'll sit down with you. Okay? And we'll all look at our iPads. You know, we'll FaceTime each other. And thank you. David Lucero just called. Okay? Appreciate you. If you invite me to lunch, I'm stressed. Let's go. I'm not skipping a meal. But it's everywhere. It's on our phones. It's on our computers. It's on television, video. It's just nonsense is everywhere. It's on social media. Okay? I understand it, you know, some of the things. But it's like, you know, we don't care what you had for lunch, by the way. Well, actually, I do if it's good because I'm stressed. I want to go see where you're eating. But all the nonsense, it's just every, you just hear nothing but negativity wherever you go. And it can be very confusing. So we hear all this negativity, and then like the Philistines, we're confused by what it means. They heard this great noise in the camp. They say, hey, what's that noise? What meaneth this noise? And then we're trying to figure out, what does this mean in my life? I'm hearing all this nonsense about the economy and unemployment and this and that, holiday shopping and blah, 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 blah. It's like, man, what does that mean for my life? Usually means more stress. More stress. We sit there and we think about it. Let me say this. When you live without God, bad news is even worse. Because you have no eternal perspective by which to judge it. Man, if we're just living for this life, you better be discouraged because there's nothing good going on. But as Christians, that kind of confusion should not get to us because we have more of an eternal perspective. We know what's coming. Let me just quote a verse to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. Speaking of the resurrection, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, what he's saying there, he's not saying if we live for Christ, we're miserable. He's saying if there's no resurrection, if there's no eternal life, if there's no afterlife, and we're just living for this life, even if it's in Christ, we're miserable. But guess what? We're not just living for this life. We can look at the things that others would stress about and say, I know Christ. I'm going to serve him and do what he says and just live my life the way God wants. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. We can make it. So there's confusion. Then there's fear. Verse 7, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. No, he wasn't. Whenever we're confused about something, it leads us to fear. By the way, people want to know about the future. They do. So you got all these psychics. You know, it used to be big years ago. They won whatever, 7,000 numbers. Call me. I'll tell you what your future is. $25 a minute. I know what their future is. Money, okay? They don't know your future. People love prophecy. By the way, prophecy is in the Bible. Why do we love prophecy? We want to know about the future because we want to know that there's something good coming. We want to know that there's something good going on in the future. But see, when we get confused about it, we start to get fearful. What's going to happen? What if this were to happen? We spend all of our lives fearing something that doesn't even happen in the first place. It was a waste of your emotions. But they were fearful. God's in the camp. Hey, no, he wasn't. It was just a bunch of guys yelling and screaming. Remember our football teams, you know, our guys get together. We're going to win, you know, football team. Guys get in huddle. They go out and the other team would score on them right away. I remember one time we were playing Lancaster, and the year before they killed us, but we were ready this year. We had a good team. I'm like, it's payback time. We are going to hammer these guys. And our guys were fired up. We had the best practices we ever had. They get out on the field, and we kick off. Lancaster, boom, 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 touchdown. So I called a timeout, and I started getting up. I said, you guys shout really nice. What's happening? I don't want to hear you shout. I want to see you do something about it. And we did go out and kill them. Amen. I heard a story that a guy one time, there was a high school in Texas, and they had a horrible losing streak. They were losing all these games, and this multi-millionaire that used to go to the high school, he went to their last game. They played a game, they lost. Their next game was against a rival. So the coach goes in. The rich guy goes in and says, I've had enough of this. If you guys beat our rivals next week, I'll buy every single one of you a car, including the coaches. He said, we're not going to lose. Can I just tell you something? That team was fired up. They had the best week of practices they had in their life. The coaches were on top of it. They sacrificed, and you wouldn't believe it. They went out that next week, and they lost 44-0. Listen, if you stink, you stink. I don't know where we're going with that. Motivation is nothing. Now, they were fearful. Fear is not from God. How do we overcome fear? Well, it's all related to one thing that we always mention all the time, and the reason we're in church, it's related to the Bible. You overcome fear of the Bible. Joshua 1:7. God told Joshua as he was going into a very, what could have been a stressful time, he was going to fight many battles. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. He said, hey, be strong. Don't be fearful. Be courageous, okay? And it's all tied to God's word. When we know what's coming, we don't have to be fearful, okay? And they were afraid. Fear. In any area in which we live in fear, now listen to this, we are not living by faith. Now think about that. If we're living in fear, I'm fearful about my job, then you're not trusting God for your provisions, okay? I'm fearful about whatever. In that area, you are not living by faith. What does the Bible tell us? Without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please God. Fear is the enemy of faith. And so if we have faith, we won't live in fear. And God does not want us to live by fear. We're acting like Christ's disciples. I do want you to flip over here to Mark quickly. Mark chapter 4. We'll look at verse 37 and 39. Really, this to me is a bit of a ridiculous story. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. The disciples are in a boat with Christ. They're traveling to the other side of the shore. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 says this, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. So this great storm comes up, and the water's coming into the boat. It's starting to get full of water. And he, Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Where's Jesus? He's right there with them, okay? The Savior, the Son of God. God in the flesh, the one whom they serve and they trust with their very lives. He's in the back of the ship sleeping. So how do they take this in faith? And they awake him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, they could have worded it better. They could have woke him and said, you know, Christ, we're going through a storm and we're starting to struggle with this thing here. Could you help us out? You know what they said? They said, don't you care? We're all dying and you're sleeping. What's going on with that? I don't think if you study the Old Testament, Jesus came to drown for our sins. Okay? He came to die for our sins. They were fearful. Now, what does he say? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Hey, he made everything fine. And he said unto them, why are ye so what? Fearful. How is it that you have no what? Faith. They didn't have faith because they were fearful. Okay? So we need to trust God. Don't let fear creep in. And then the last thing we see, another reaction these men had, they were discouraged. Verse 8, woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? They knew what he did in Egypt. They knew all that he had done in the past. And now they're discouraged. Do you ever get discouraged? Discouragement is bad because when we get discouraged, we quit acting on what we're supposed to do. Discouragement stops us. By the way, whenever you're discouraged and you stop doing the things you're supposed to do, it gets worse. We get down, we get a little, you can call it depressed if you want. And then instead of getting up and doing what we're supposed to do, we just stick around, we don't do anything. Can I just tell you something? Things get worse. Say, how do you get through times when you're struggling, you're discouraged, or you're down? You get up and do what you're supposed to be doing. Don't stop. That makes things worse when you stop. You're supposed to be to work? Be to work. You're supposed to read your Bible? Read your Bible. You're supposed to be to church? Be to church. Do what you're supposed to do. You'll get over that. They're discouraged. Now, all of these emotions were flooding in their life. And what happened? What was the result of these? We see an unexpected result. Look at verses 9 and 10. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. In other words, instead of them letting these emotions stop them, they got their act together. And they said, let's do what we're supposed to be doing. We see that they have strength. He said, be strong and quit yourselves like men. They cut through all the nonsense, all the noise, all the screaming, everybody, oh, what's going on? We hear the noise, what's going on? Somebody said, hey, snap out of it. be strong, be like men, and let's do what we're supposed to do. Don't let your emotions determine your actions. You're making things worse. You do what you're supposed to be doing in spite of how you are feeling. And it made them strong. By the way, most Christians are very, very, very wimpy. I'll just be real honest with you. We are. But we don't even want to stand for the truth anymore. But offend somebody. We're not trying to offend people. But isn't a God of love? Yes, he is. He's also a God of truth. Just because God is a God of love does not mean he's not a God of truth. We're really weak in this country. You know why our country is having all these problems? If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you may not understand this, and that's fine. But spiritually speaking, if you're a Christian, you look at all that's going on in our country, and you could get discouraged. You can get depressed. You can get all those things we just talked about. But you know why it's happening? Because Christians are wimpy. If we just acted and lived like we believed, things would be fine. But we don't. We're capitulating, and we just want to be like everybody else. Let's not rock the boat. That's a problem. And let me say this. It doesn't work because problems are coming your way anyhow. So you might as well strengthen up and get ready. Okay? So when the problems come, you're ready for them. See, most Christians aren't ready. They don't spend any time with God. They don't do all that stuff. And then they're spiritually weak and a problem comes and it seems worse. Where if you're ready for it, you can take it. It's like when we were kids. They don't do this anymore, I don't think. They used to have the presidential badge of fitness. How do you remember that? And every year they would do it when we were in school, and they had like 7 or 8 different athletic things, and you had to do a certain amount, and if you did a certain amount in all the categories, you got a little, you know, president's physical fitness badge. Well, I remember 2 weeks before we would start, and when I was in 7th grade, our teacher said, it's coming in 2 weeks, we're going to get you ready. I'm like, what do we need to get ready for? He goes, let's go do chin-ups. He goes, now, I think we had to do like 7. He goes, 7. Let's go, guys, everybody up. Can I just tell you something? It was pathetic. I did 1. Everybody's like doing, because no one was doing them. But he said, we're going to get out here and do 2 or 3 sets of these every day for 2 weeks, and by the time it comes, you'll easily do 7. And we did. We went out there 1. The next day we did 2. After a while, you're strengthening up. By the time it came, 7 or 8, 9, 10, it was easy. Why? We were prepared for it. We were strengthened for it. Okay? Listen, why do we want to be strong Christians? Well, first of all, God wants us to be strong Christians. But second of all, so when all the noise and the nonsense comes our way, it's not a big deal. So we need our strength. We also need some determination. They said, listen, we're going to fight that we be not servants to the Hebrews. You know what they said? It ain't happening. Cry, whine, gripe, cry about all the yelling and the screaming, but we're not going down without a fight because we are not going to be servants to those guys. We're going to go at it. Determination. We're not very determined in our Christian life. The first little thing sets us off course. I don't know how many people, and I've been here 25 years, that, you know, they'll leave God or they'll leave church or something. It's like, what happened? In some little small thing. And it's like, I got upset about this little small thing. It's like, it's not a big deal. By the way, is that how you treat work? Well, my boss yelled at me. Oh, you're going to quit? Well, you know, I didn't get the raise I thought I should get. You're going to quit? Have a little determination. Okay, have a little grit in your call that says, you know what? I'm a Christian. I love God, I'm going to follow God, I'm going forward, I don't care what happens. Have some determination. And then they took action. The Philistines fought. They didn't care that they thought God was in the camp, and he wasn't. How'd they find out? They fought. They didn't say, oh, no, we're in trouble. No, they got up and said, hey, let's go for it. Fight, action, take action. And then they had victory. Victory. There was a great slaughter. By the way, victory only comes if there's opposition. If there's no battle, if there's no opposition, then there is no victory. When you get out on a field, there's another team. You win victory because you had something you had to overcome. Without overcoming, there's no victory. Or it's hollow. I remember our first year, we played in a football league. Our JV team played another team. They both made it to championship game. The other team, I saw what happened. 2 or 3 of their top players did something really ridiculous, and they got kicked out of the championship game. So you know what the team did to protest? They played our guys, and they didn't try. The opening, they kicked off to our guy, and they didn't even try to get his flag. they were just messing around. When they got the ball, they threw interceptions. And they did this for about a quarter and a half, and then they just quit. You know, we won, but it didn't taste very good. Because there was no, you know, we want the battle. You want to run over somebody. I mean, it's like, he's in front of me, knock him down, let's have a good time. Okay? Now, we're Christians, so when you knock them down, you smile and you help them up. And then the next play, you knock them down again. Okay? And you smile and you pray for them afterwards. But victory. Now, why did they have the victory? Let me give you three quick things that will be done. And we mentioned some of these. First of all, is because their emotions were not in charge. Their emotions were not in charge. Don't live your life by emotions. Now, all of us have emotions. Someone has said, emotions are great servants, but they're terrible masters. We all have emotions. That's what makes us human beings. We get into trouble when we let our emotions make our decisions. We let our emotions dictate what we do. By the way, if you're in a very emotional time, do not make a major decision. You're not in the frame of mind to make that decision. But don't let your emotions take over. We get ourselves in trouble. How do you safeguard that? Well, here's how you safeguard it. Say you have to, your emotions are kind of on edge. Give it some time. Don't make a decision when your emotions are in check. Give it some time. Say, I'll wait. Why? Because you know what happens. Your emotions calm down and everything's good. You'll say something or do something in the heat of the moment that you regret later. You do that with email. You get mad at somebody, you're going to send them an email. You type it out, you get mad, you click send. 5 minutes later, it's like, that was harsh. I shouldn't have done that. Anybody ever do that? You know what you do? Type the email out, have a good time, and wait to send it. Because you usually won't. But our emotions, we're just all out of, I'm going to, and look, I've heard people say, why did you do that? Well, you know, I just had to do something. Really? Why did you have to do something? My emotions told me I did. Don't follow your emotions. The Philistines didn't say, we got to do something else. Maybe we should retreat because after all, they said, no, calm down. Quit acting like little girls. Whatever. Get the emotions aside. Think about what, if we don't win, we're going to be servants to these guys. Stand up, be a man, and fight. Don't let your emotions run your life. And another thing you should do is get counsel. If you're totally emotionally distraught, find somebody that can talk to you that will maybe talk you, help you get through the thing. But don't make emotions kill it. By the way, you know, we have emotional type of Christianity now. People get in church and they want the music where everybody's going to jump up and down and roll on their heads, and they get out of church and act like a heathen. We're not doing that. Okay? By the way, music will help you jump up and down. Oh, you have a really good, oh man, you'll be in the spirit. Now, what spirit it is, I have no idea. Listen, when I was unsaved, a teenager, I went to rock concerts. Everybody there was in the spirit. Now, it was not the kind of spirit you thought, but it was a spirit. Emotions were all over the place. Don't let your emotions lead the way. And then realize this, that fighting's a choice. When you're supposed to do something, do it. Sometimes it's a struggle. Well, you know, I don't want to get out of bed today and go to church. Come anyhow, you need it. That, by the way, that's the time you need it. Okay? By the way, say, do you ever, I look, when my alarm goes off, I never feel like coming to church. I want to go back to bed. Okay? That's my emotions. But I do what I'm supposed to do. No one ever said, you know, gentlemen, I regret coming today. No. Fight. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't let emotions stop you. And then realize this, victory comes from God. They, all these emotions, everything was out of kilter. Ultimately, the battle had already been decided ahead of time. The Philistines were going to win, not that God was for the Philistines. God was trying to teach the Israelites a lesson. The whole thing had been determined ahead of time. You know, God knows how everything is going to play out. Okay? And you sit there, and you worry, and you stress, and all these things, and that doesn't change anything. If it does change it, it changes it for the worse. So what do? We act in faith. What does God want? Don't let your emotions. How many relationships have been destroyed because people just don't control their emotions? And that's not the way God wants us to live. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes this morning.